77 WABC. The following program is brought to you by NYU Winthrop Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz, where you get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, it's the chairman of urology at NYU Winthrop Hospital in New York. Here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Katz's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Katz, and we are live. Live at 1-800-848-WABC. That number again is 1-800-848-9222 if you'd like to give me a call this morning on this beautiful Mother's Day. So let me start out and wish all the moms out there a wonderful Mother's Day. I'd like to especially wish my own mom, who's down in Boca Raton, Florida. Mom, I love you and wish you a wonderful, happy Mother's Day, and I hope that you enjoy, and sorry that I couldn't be with you this weekend. And to my wife, Jennifer, who is an amazing mom to our three boys, and I wish you a wonderful day as well. And to all the moms out there, it's a wonderful day for all of you, all that you do for all of us, and we are so happy that we could celebrate with you. I don't know if any moms are listening this morning, but I'd love to hear from you if you have a question, perhaps, about your man, your spouse, your loved one. I'm here to answer your phone calls. I don't have a particular guest this morning except all of you out there. So the number is 1-800-848-9222. The phone lines are currently open, and we'd love to hear from you this morning. I typically start out and let you all know again about our men's health seminar. It's coming up. It's just about a month away. And this year, again, it'll be at the beautiful Garden City Hotel on June 16th this year. And it's very easy to register. All you need to do is go on to the website, which is menshealthseminar.com. That's menshealthseminar.com. And we will be having a wonderful seminar this year with outstanding faculty and guests. And our special speaker this year is Dr. Michael Roizen, who is the Chief Wellness Officer. I just can't wait to hear what he's going to have to say about all of the newest information about health, not only really for men, but it applies to everyone on how to stay healthy and maintain a healthy body and to feel well. He's written many books with the famous Dr. Mehmet Oz, and he's a New York Times bestseller, an author, and I understand an outstanding guy, so we're really looking forward to having him, as well as the other great speakers that we have from NYU Winthrop this year. My colleagues will be there discussing treatment options for urinary dysfunction, so if you're having difficulties with urinating, or if you're concerned about your PSA or have prostate cancer, we'll have discussions on testosterone and erectile dysfunction, as well as cardiac health and bone health, sleep health, and many of the other issues that may affect you. It's a wonderful Father's Day gift. It's a day of seeing, you know, many of you do come back many times to the seminar to see old friends that you may have met there, or maybe you meet new people. It's a great day. Love to see you all there. Again, that's Saturday, June 16th. I know my parents will be there. Looking forward to seeing them always. At the Garden City Hotel. So sign up now today at menshealthseminar.com. Phone lines are open. Love to hear from you at 1-800-848-9222. That number again is 1-800-848-WABC. And, you know, if you listen to the show and you know that I'm a urologist and I'm very... I believe in the PSA screening, and I believe that it has affected and helped so many men. And recently I was involved with the Peter Latos Foundation and honored by their foundation for the work that I have done with men's health and to promote PSA screening. And this week, in probably the most prestigious medical journal that we have, which is JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association, there was an update on the screening guidelines which is published by the United States Preventative Task Force. Now, this is a task force that doctors sit on the board, and they make recommendations to the government and what we feel is the best screening guidelines based on the evidence that's out there. Now, in 2012, they gave the PSA screening a grade D. That's D as in David, which is probably the lowest recommendation that you can have, which basically says that there's really no evidence to do screening for men who are between the ages of 55 and 69. And that really has now changed. So now they're saying that there is a level C, and that the decision to be screened for prostate cancer should be an individual one. So they are recognizing that there's been new information that has come out on screening, that PSA screening can in fact save lives. And you know, in the past, they gave it a D, which is against the screening, discouraging the use of screening. And now they're upgrading it because they've looked at some of the newest data. And again, this is particularly for men, they're saying between the ages of 55 to 69. They're still giving it, if you're over 70, they're still saying that it's a grade D recommendation, that they don't recommend it. And again, I disagree with that component of it. I feel that men who are over 70, who are healthy, can benefit from PSA, and from PSA screening. And they, you know, a lot of it is because what they're saying is that PSA may harm people, that it can cause sexual problems and urinary problems from PSA screening because we overtreat people. And I agree with that there has been an extensive amount of overtreatment in the past. But we have new ways now of screening, and it's not just because you have an elevated PSA that everybody needs a biopsy, and everybody with a biopsy needs aggressive treatment. And in fact, even in other countries like in Sweden, where men that are diagnosed with early stage prostate cancer, almost 90% are not getting treated, and they're going on to active surveillance. I've incorporated that a lot in my practice, and a lot of the doctors here in the United States have as well. We do need to be smart. We do need to be proactive. We can't just say, okay, well, you're between 55 and 69 and forget the PSA. And of course, they're still not being strong about men who have a family history. They're not making any really strong recommendations there. I disagree with that. I think that men with a strong family history, African American men, should be screened routinely, and even starting at the age of 40. But the recommendation is a little better. And they are, I think, realizing that we are being, as a urology organization and urologists around the country, we're being smarter. We have other tests now. We have other urine markers and other biomarkers in the blood, and we're being smarter. We're being more selective as to who we treat and who we biopsy. And yes, there is a risk of infection with biopsy. It's small. In my own hands, it's less than 1%, thankfully, and I think that's probably true around the country, that we are the percentage of an infection and complication after a biopsy is low. But we're being smarter. We're not just acting on one particular PSA. We're getting more MRIs. We're getting urinary tests. We have new PSA types of tests like the 4K score, the FI score. So I'm happy to see that the recommendation changed. I think that men need to be advised. I mean, men, you know, they go on with a big discussion about, well, it should be an individualized approach, and the doctor should go through all the risks and the benefits. And I mean, really, I mean, you know, it's difficult for patients to make a decision. It really is. And I think that's where it's your primary care physician and your urologist should be knowledgeable. And between 55, you know, honestly, in my own practice, if you're over 50, you're getting a blood test. Unless you have a lot of other significant medical problems, you're getting a PSA at least once a year. So I'm going to answer some phone calls now, but I did want to let you know, and you can check on if you want to go online, and you can look up the United States Preventative Task Force recent recommendation, which is now at least to have this discussion with people, because in the past they said we're totally against it, and we're giving it a D recommendation. All right. Enough of that. Let me hear from, I know Mark was the first caller, so let's hear from him this morning on Mother's Day. And if you're just tuning in, I want to wish again every one of the moms, of course, a wonderful, happy Mother's Day. Mark, go ahead, in Randolph, New Jersey.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Katz. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure.
I'm 85 years old, and since August of last year, for 10 months, I've developed throbbing in my head, across my brow, which occasionally radiates down to my teeth, and it is 24/7 since August of last year. Subsequent to August, it was diagnosed that I had a mild subdural hematoma, but it was absorbed very quickly. But the 24/7 throbbing continues across my brow, radiating to my teeth.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm sorry about that. That sounds awful. I think that something like the TMJ syndrome or something like that, have you seen a neurologist or someone? I'm a urologist, by the way, and this is more of a, you know, when I'm on with by myself here, I'm talking more about health below the belt. I think that you, I'm sorry to hear that, Mark, and I think you're probably best to see a neurologist. This throbbing, it could be, you know, some type of an arteritis, an inflammatory condition within the arteries of the temple that could, maybe you could benefit from a course of steroids, TMJ syndrome. But I would definitely see a neurologist, Mark. Thanks for your phone call. Hope you're well. Good morning, George. How are you? Online too. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. Hello?
Yes, I'm here, sir. I'm here with you.
I'll try to be as brief as I can. In 2013, I had an elevating PSA score, and the urologist I was seeing at that time recommended a biopsy, and I went through it, and he took 12 cores, found nothing. And I went on a couple of years later, just at 2016, I wound up with a case of prostatitis, and changed urologist and went to see a new doctor, and he gave me the DRE, and that was normal and still is. But he was concerned because my PSA keeps rising. It was 7 in 2013. It's 8 point something now in 2018. And he's concerned about the rising PSA.
So it went up, I'm sorry, but it went up 1 point in 5 years. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it did. Maybe 1.5.
And why is that concerning?
Well, he was concerned, so he sent me for, this was last year, he sent me for an MRI, and I had a biopsy, and the biopsy was negative. He saw on the MRI there was an area that he labeled number 5, and he thought it was a lesion, and when he did the directed the biopsy, he took 5 cores from the area he thought was suspicious. And then he went around and did another 12 samples, and again, the results were negative.
Okay.
He's very, very diligent, so he says, come back and see me in 6 months, and I went.
Okay, smart. Mm-hmm.
And he gave me another DRE, and he said it was smooth, soft on one side, a little firmer on the other, but he said, we're going to start again from square one. But then he sent me for a 4K test, and this is where I'm concerned, because the 4K test came out with the score of 80, which didn't really sit well with me. But I'm scheduled to have another biopsy next month. And so I asked him, I said, if the results come out negative, what do I have the sword hanging over my head?
Yeah, it is concerning. And, you know, I do see some men like yourself that are, for one thing, the PSA doesn't really excite me all that much. I mean, with a 1 point rise in all those years, and with a normal digital rectal examination and no strong family history, I assume, of prostate cancer, correct?
Well, my father died very young, so I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know, yeah. So the 4K score is a fairly accurate test, and it looks like it may be a little bit more sensitive in detecting, aggressive prostate cancer than the PSA alone. And the 5 on the MRI is also concerning. I would just ask the doctor, before he does the biopsy, to make sure that the type of biopsy that he's doing is actually considered a fusion biopsy, that he really is overlaying the ultrasound with the MRI report, and they have this fusion biopsy technology. Now, you know, I am somewhat biased because I am now part of NYU, and we have great doctors both in Manhattan and out on Long Island, part of the NYU system, that use this fusion technology, which really can accurately target that area rather than just using your eye. It uses a kind of a robotic navigation system. So I would make sure that he has that done, George, for you. Because I am, you know, based upon what you're telling me now with a very concerning MRI and an elevated 4K score, I would make sure that at least you're going to undergo another biopsy to make sure that it's done with the latest technology that's available for you.
And he did. It was a
It was a fusion? Okay.
It was, and it will be again in June.
Okay.
The only other question I might have to add to it, after the first biopsy, which was done, and now in retrospect I realize how remiss the doctor was, he never prepared me with antibiotics or anything. It was just go in and have that little staple gun put up.
Really? Well, that's outside of the guidelines. I mean, everyone is getting an antibiotic, at least oral. We give oral antibiotics, and then at the time of the biopsy, you get another shot of a intramuscular antibiotic. I mean, without giving antibiotics, God forbid you had got an infection. I mean, that doctor wouldn't have a – he'd be in some serious water there. You know?
I'm telling you, I don't recommend him, and I won't mention his name.
No, let's not do that.
After the biopsy, a number of weeks later, I noticed a significant difference in the consistency of my ejaculate. Apparently, it's only seminal fluid that's coming out. I don't see any sperm anymore. Or, you know,
well, you're not going to see sperm unless you got microscopic eyes, which most of us don't.
No, I don't mean that. But, you know, the nature of the ejaculate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that can change with age, and sometimes, yes, it can change with the biopsy for a few weeks afterwards, George. That's possible. But this is
I'm talking back from 2013. This is
then I don't think it's related to the biopsy, George. I can't really think so. Maybe there's other confounding factors. But why don't you do this? Get the biopsy in June. I think it's the right thing to do. I'm glad it's using the fusion technology for you. And then call me back and let me know how you're doing, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, good luck to you. And, you know, it's a case in point here where, you know, this is, you know, it's not only just the PSA. I was talking about PSA screening before, but, you know, and he had a normal digital rectal exam, but now we are using other tests like the FI score, the MRI. I can't tell you how many patients, I mean, just thinking just this week alone that I've seen where patients came in with, I have one gentleman that came in with a PSA of 30, had a biopsy. It was a Gleason 9, which is, you know, 9 out of 10, very aggressive cancer. And then the bone scan showed that there was disease in the back. There was the CAT scan showed disease in the lymph nodes. And I said, well, why didn't you have, I mean, your PSA is 30. I mean, why didn't you have a PSA in the last few years? Well, you know, the doctor didn't do it. The doctor didn't offer it. And, you know, and now he's sitting here with a PSA of 30. And, you know, I mean, it's he can do well. I mean, he can't be cured with a disease in the bone or the lymph nodes. He can be controlled for a long time, yes. But unfortunately, now he has to go on to this type of hormonal therapy, which can have other, you know, life side effects. Let's go to, I know Joe has been waiting in New Jersey. We'll hear from you. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Doc.
How are you doing?
Thank you.
Sure.
I went to my doctor a month ago because I was getting more frequency and urgency. And he did the PSA test. Actually, when I went to my primary care doctor, my PSA went from like 2.2 to 4.1. And I was getting more urgency and frequency. And I went and what he did was he did a 4K, which came out at 97, which he thought was good. And my question is, I have trouble taking antibiotics. I'm on doxycycline now. Do you have any other recommendations or anything else I can do? And the other two things that's important, number one, I'm 76 years old, and number two, I've been on hormone therapy for 10 years.
Hormone therapy for what?
I lost my testicles.
I see. So you're on hormone replacement therapy. You're getting testosterone.
Yeah, I'm taking injections every year.
I see.
12 days, 10
sure.
12 days.
Sure. Yeah, well, I hope that that's helping you.
Well, it's helped for 10 years all of a sudden now. I came, you know, my PSA doubled. I mean, it's 4.1, but it was always around 2. It was always low. I was fortunate.
Well, you know, Joe, part of the screening tests that we do, there are always false positive tests. Patients can come in with an elevated PSA and not have prostate cancer. I mean, you can have, you know, just an enlarging prostate.
Right.
You can have a urinary tract infection. And so one of the symptoms that you're telling me about, you just started to say about frequency and urgency. Now, has the doctor actually done a urine test to document an infection?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're waiting for the culture to come back Monday.
Yeah, and so, but why are you on antibiotics now?
Well, because I got terrible pain yesterday. He said, Joe, you can start it. And then, culture Monday, we'll see exactly what's going on.
All right, well,
I didn't want to take them, but I had
doxycycline
pain.
Wouldn't be my first choice, just to, you know, somebody called me over the weekend and was having a lot of pain. It's not the greatest choice. I mean, unless you have, one of the sexually transmitted diseases like chlamydia or something like that, but it's not really one of the first-line drugs that I would have gone to. I'm not going to tell you to go ahead.
I can't take Levaquin. I had years ago, I had Levaquin and Bactrim. That's another problem. I'm very, I can't take antibiotics. I see.
Okay. Well, it may not be a urinary tract infection. We'll see what the results show. In terms of recommendations, someone that's on testosterone replacement for many years, it certainly is very beneficial to you in many ways, but it can also cause the prostate to enlarge. It could have raised your prostate size. So probably an ultrasound would be a very reasonable thing to take a look at the size of your prostate. And the PSA may be just normal based upon the size of your gland. And I wouldn't always recommend on just a digital rectal exam, because, when you do the digital exam, you're just feeling kind of one piece of the prostate, kind of like the backside of the prostate, but you don't really get the length and the height. So an accurate way to do it is just a quick ultrasound in the office, which the urologist can do, and see if, perhaps after years of testosterone replacement, your prostate size has increased, and that'll bump up your PSA a little bit, and maybe nothing to be worried about at all. Okay, Joe? So, but yes, let's get the urine culture. Let's make sure that you don't have an infection. If you are still having these symptoms, I would get an ultrasound and maybe even a quick look in the bladder to make sure there's nothing that's concerning within the bladder itself. There can be stones, there can be other problems within the bladder, the lining of the bladder, so that might be something to consider. But first thing would be to get the urine test back. Okay?
Okay, Tom. Is a 97 score good on the flu? Okay.
Well, I'd have to look at it myself, I'd have to look at the actual paperwork, because that score in and of itself is a little concerning to me, so I'm not so sure why.
Yeah. He was elated. He said, you don't have a chance.
Well, maybe reading it the other way, maybe it's 97% free of cancer. So,
but there's 3% that could be a problem, you're saying?
Oh, if it's 3% of the problem, then that's a very low score. Then I wouldn't be so concerned. Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for your phone call. Okay. I hope all goes well with you. We have a few moments left. Let's go. Bill's been waiting on the line in Rockville Center. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, doctor. How are you today?
Okay. Thank you.
Good. 64-year-old, almost 64-year-old man who goes for PSA every year. My PSA has always been between, 1.5, 2.1, back and forth. But I happened to come across an article I was reading. It was in the paper about these new guidelines for screening from Sloan Kettering, and they kind of confused me. They were talking about if a PSA level was between 1 and 3, you should get one done maybe every 2 to 4 years. And then they said, which I was kind of shocked at, if your PSA level was less than 1 and you were between the ages of 60 and 70, no further screening was recommended. What is your feelings about this, doctor?
I'm not a fan of that. I know their studies, and they're terrific doctors, an outstanding medical center, there's no doubt. But I feel that once you tell a guy you're good for a few years, people forget. I've personally seen people with that where things do change over time. I believe in yearly screening, and if a guy is having urinary symptoms, to come back in 6 months, and I make sure that they have the appointment by the time they leave the office. So I think things fall through the cracks. I'm sorry to say it, but guys are, they don't want to come to the office. They don't want to come to a doctor's office, and they say, oh, the doctor said I'm fine. That's the message that they get when they leave the office. Oh, my PSA is low. I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, 1 to 2 years, they're not going to remember. You'll come back in 2 years. So I think if you're coming to the urologist's office, if you're coming just for screening, I think, you know, once a year. And that's my recommendation in my practice. And this is, you know, I've been in the field for a number of years. I've seen things fall through the cracks. I see it daily, where guys forgot to get their PSA, or their primary care doctor didn't do the PSA for a couple of years, like this patient I was telling you about this week. This is a real story. This is a real situation, you know, and the family's looking at me and, you know, with the long faces, and now I'm reviewing the CAT scan. It shows the disease in the lymph nodes. The bone scan shows it's out into the bone. His PSA is 31, and, you know, I think that sometimes those guidelines that they come out with are good, maybe for the general population. They're trying to reduce costs. I think, but for the individual person, you need to know your numbers. And, you know, I've said this time and time again, and PSA is just only one number you need to know. But you do need to know your cholesterol. You do need to know your kidney function test. You need to know your height, your weight, your blood pressure. And, yeah, you need to know your PSA. And I think you need to know it every year, Bill.
Yeah, it seems like, to me, too much of a blanketed recommendation, you know, for, you know, because if one or two people fall through the cracks,
you're right,
that's not a good thing. And it just seemed to me when you said if you have less than one, and you'd be, let's say at my age, I'm 64, if I was less than one, they're telling me I don't have to get screened for the rest of my life. I could live, let's say I live to 90, that's almost 30 more years. It didn't make any sense to me. I was kind of confused, Bill, and I said, I have to call Dr. Katz about it.
And I appreciate you telling me, you know. And, you know, and when the United States Preventative Task Force reviewed their initial articles back in 2012, they said, well, PSA only saves, you know, one life in 1,000. Now they're saying, well, no, we've reviewed it, and we follow up patients for a longer period of time, and it's actually a lot more men than we realize, and that's probably why they're changing their guidelines. And
but that, if that's my life, that one in 1,000, I'm
exactly
happy.
Exactly. And you know, and I was at this you know, this organization, this Peter Latos organization, a fantastic organization founded by his family members. The man died in his early 40s.
Oh my God.
It was early 40s, and you know, he developed metastatic prostate cancer. And you know, the screening wasn't there, and it wasn't done. And yeah, if it's your life, one in 1,000. But now they're saying that now that we follow up men for a much longer period of time, where it's a lot more than one in 1,000, and the screening is benefited. And a lot of the studies that they were quoting, based upon their recommendations, were flawed. You know, this was screening versus no screening. But they found out that a lot of men that were in the no screening group actually did get PSA screening. So the studies were a bit flawed. But thank you, Bill, for bringing that up. And, you know, I applaud all doctors, especially, you know, that are doing excellent research and clinical studies and trying to come up with new guidelines. But I think when you have to be real with people. And when you're dealing with men, especially, who don't want to come to the office and are looking to get out of the office, you say, oh, well, you don't have to come back for a few years. They're not going to come back. And these guys are going to slip through the cracks. Anyway, so thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Just have about a minute left. I just want to remind everyone that we are going to have this outstanding men's health seminar this year at the beautiful Garden City Hotel. So I hope that you all can be there and join us this year on Saturday, June 16th, the day before Father's Day. Great Father's Day gift. And love to see you and your loved ones out there. We're going to have beyond, you know, we're also going to have breakfast and lunch and breakout sessions, so you'll get food all day. And it's a beautiful Garden City Hotel. And you'll just feel, I don't know, like people leave and they feel energized. They say, wow, you know, just had a great day, learned a lot, met some new people, saw some old faces that I see every year that come to the seminar. But just feel a new sense of health and wellness. And to promote wellness, we have the chief wellness officer this year at the Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Michael Roizen. You can check him out. I have, and I've never met the man, but he's co-authored many books with Mehmet Oz, and I'm sure it's going to be an outstanding day. Again, I want to wish all the moms out there a wonderful Mother's Day. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Tune in every Sunday live with Dr. Aaron Katz. That's me. Have a great day, everyone, and enjoy the day with Mom. If you have one, if not, I wish you all a wonderful, outstanding day. This is Dr. Aaron Katz.
WABC, New York.